Early on my clock, this clock's about 3 minutes fast. But since it's only a half hour, I think we can go ahead. We're going to sing for a few minutes, then we'll do some verses, if any of you have memorized a verse, and then we'll have a short message. So, let's start with some songs. Does anyone have a song that you'd like to sing? Anybody? Do you have a song? No? And you guys have a song? Just pick a number. Okay, well, how about we start with number one then? And you guys can look for a song. And there's not many of us here. I'm sure more people are coming. But we're going to try to sing loud and try to sing fast, okay? So we can get through a lot of these songs in about 10, 15 minutes. Okay, so number one.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, Lo, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, lift to his voice so clear. Now falling on the...
Okay, Marianne? Number eight. All right, will someone please start this one?
His coming, when the dead Christ arrives, shall we hear the Savior summons to God's home beyond the skies. Yes, we'll gather at his coming, his glorious and glorious coming. Gather with the saints at his coming, if once in the Savior's blood. Living nearer draws his coming, this faith was his own rejoice. Blue are they that fear to meet with him, such as now love not his voice. Yes, we'll gather at his coming, his glorious coming. Gather with the saints at his coming, if washed in the Savior's blood. When the Savior at his coming shall his only glory bring, will you be among the number? Will you to his praises sing? Yes, we'll gather at his coming, his glorious coming. Gather with his saints at his coming, if washed in the Savior's blood. Ere the day of Jesus coming, seek his heart and grief to know. See your stains of sin and scarlet, he will wash you white as snow. Yes, we'll gather at his coming, his
Okay, does anyone have another one? Nobody has a song? Go ahead. 46. All right, number 46. Glad T-I-D-I-N-G-S-I-T-R-I-N-G. That J-E-S-U-S has come to save me. And he calls all the G-I-R-I-S, and he wants all the P-O-I-S to. Yeah, I think it's about to be the last one. Go ahead. 39. Oh, it's one of my favorites. Number 39. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in singing. Does anyone have the verse memorized? I think it was Matthew 11:28. Does anyone have it memorized and they'd like to say it? If not, that's fine. Nobody? Okay. Well, that's actually good because I'm not sure if I can finish the message in 15 minutes, but we'll see. So we'll just move on to the message then. And let's all just bow our heads and we're going to ask the Lord for His help, okay? So can we all do that? Bow your head, close your eyes, and we're going to pray to the Lord Jesus, okay? Lord Jesus, we ask for these children that they might hear Thy word today and that they might understand it and might grow in their faith or might accept the Lord Jesus if they have not already. We look to Thee that You would guide the speaker to give Thy word faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start with a verse. This verse is found in Isaiah chapter 64. I don't know if any of you have your Bibles, but you can follow along. Isaiah chapter 64, and it's the introduction to a figure. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. Okay, so I brought along with me, purchased conveniently at the Hobby Lobby in Bangor, a lump of clay. You guys all like to play with clay? I know I really much used to. I don't get a chance to so much anymore, but I still like to whenever I can. Okay, this clay is going to be a tough concept to understand, but I think you guys can do it. It's going to represent a life, like we just read about, okay? I know clay is kind of a funny thing to represent a life, but it's going to represent a life, and we're going to travel through this clay's life, or just an individual life. And does anyone know what is the first event in somebody's life? Does anyone know? Marianne?
They're born.
They're born, okay, yes. But even before that, they're conceived, right? The life begins at conception, and then you're in the womb for a while, and then you're born, like Marianne said. So, we're going to read a verse, because we'd like to know what kind of life Clayton has, all right? So we're going to read a verse in Psalm 51. If you turn to Psalm 51, if you have your Bibles. Read Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Okay, so right away, we can tell that this life, Clayton, at conception, and then as he's formed, and as he eventually is born, we can tell that there's a problem. So I brought along a little prop, also conveniently purchased at Hobby Lobby. This is a great store, and it's a snake. Now, who knows what a snake speaks of in the Scripture, generally speaking? Do you know? Satan. Okay, so this is going to be a figure of sin, of evil, okay? I'm going to take this. This is our life. This is dear Clayton, and I'm going to put the snake in the Clayton. This is a figure I don't think my friend will mind. I borrowed it from him. He told me about it, and I thought it was a good figure. We're going to put this snake right into Clayton, okay? And this is going to be, I have another figure to try to explain it to you. Because what does it mean to be born in sin, right? It's kind of a complex figure. So here we go. Here's Clayton, and he has a problem. He has a snake in him, and the snake speaks of sin, okay? Can you see the snake? Does he look like maybe a rattlesnake? Looks like a pretty bad snake, right? Okay, so what does it mean to be born in sin? All right, I have another figure. I'm going to show you something. Let's see if you can figure it out. All right. What is this?
A tree
branch. Now, what kind of a tree is this from? Do you know what kind of a tree branch it is? You guys know? A fig tree?
An
evergreen tree, maybe?
Cedar?
These are some good guesses. But nobody knows... You haven't, any of you got it right. Nobody actually knows what kind of a tree this is from, right? The reason you don't know is because I took all the leaves off, so you can't see any leaves. Someone really good with trees might be able to figure out what kind of a tree this is from. But now I have another branch. Okay, this branch and this branch came from the same tree. Now, what kind of a tree did this one come from?
A maple.
Ah, a maple. Does that look like a maple tree to you? You guys are, some of you Canadian, you ought to know this. It is a maple. Hopefully I've got that right. That's a maple tree, right? Okay, if I told you that this tree, or the branch from this tree, and the branch, or the these two branches were taken from the same tree, what kind of a branch is this?
Maple.
It's a maple. How do you know that? There's no leaves on it. Because it was taken from the same tree, right? Okay. Now, I had opportunity about a year and a little bit ago to hold a little baby girl in my arms. I looked down at that little baby girl, her name is Sarita, and I did not see any bad things with that little girl. I thought, she is wonderful. But I knew that that little girl came from me, and I'm not wonderful, and I knew that I came from Adam, and he sinned, and he's not wonderful. And so even though she didn't have any leaves on her, leaves are a figure of like lying or stealing or disobeying your parents or something, even though she didn't have any on her that I could see at that time, I knew that she was born in sin, she was a sinner. Okay, that's the concept to understand. So it doesn't matter how many leaves or how few leaves, how many sins you've committed, you're a sinner. So whether you have a lot of leaves and you look like a really bad sinner, so you say, oh yes, there's a sinner. Or you only have maybe one or two that people know about or that you know about, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're all sinners. Okay, that's what it means to be born in sin in a general way. Okay, but We're gonna advance in Clayton's life. Oh, I don't know, about 5 to 10 years. And maybe it's not Clayton, maybe it's you, Henry, or you, and you're sitting in one of these chairs. And this is you. This is your life. And you have a problem. You have a serpent embedded in your life. You are a sinner. What are you going to do about that? That's a problem. Where do sinners end up? Does anyone know where sinners end up? Henry?
In hell.
In hell. So if this Clayton dies right now, he's going to go to hell. That's bad, right? Hell is a place apart from God. It's eternal darkness. There's torment. It's very bad. But he has a problem, and he can't get rid of the serpent. No matter how hard he tries, no matter how many leaves he manages to hide, he's still a maple tree. He's still a sinner. Okay? Well, we have good news for Clayton. And the good news is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, a well-known verse, and verse 15. I'm just going to read part of the verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay, it's not my purpose really to go through how that all works. I think you guys have heard the gospel many times. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's how it happens. He shed his blood. He died so that you might be saved. Okay, so we're going to say that Clayton here sees his need. He's a sinner. He says, I can't stop sinning no matter how hard I try. And I need a Savior, someone to save me. And if any of you this morning have not said the same thing and accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, believed on Him, you need to do that. Because this is you. This is you right now. And if you die, you will go to hell. And if the Lord comes right now, which He could, you will go to hell. So you need to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. This is you. You may not think that you have a lot of sins, but you have a serpent embedded in you. You have sin in you. You're a sinner. Okay, but I'm going to assume, and I'm trusting that most of you are not sinners. You have accepted the Lord as your Savior. And we're going to say that Clayton believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to read a verse in John chapter 10 to give this. And I'm flying through this as fast as I can. I think I'll get it done in time. So, John chapter 10. And luckily I wrote the verse down. Verse 28. John 10 and verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay, Galatians 2:20, I won't read it, but it tells us that the new life that we have is the life of Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, so the new life that he's talking about there is Christ's life. So, I brought along, purchased handily from Hobby Lobby, a lamb. You guys know what a lamb speaks of in Scripture? Do you know? It speaks of Jesus. As a lamb without blemish, without spot. Okay, I'm going to take this. This Clayton believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saved. He's given a new life. So I'm going to take this and push him into the clay. And this is going to be representative of the new life. Now, there's a verse in Romans chapter 5 that tells us something about people with new life. It says, by the disobedience of one, that's Adam. You remember who Adam is? Yeah, he was the guy that sinned in the garden, right? He was the first person to ever sin. Well, the first man to ever sin. And by the disobedience of one, that was Adam, many people were made sinners. That's all of us. Everyone in this room was, when we were born, we were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Okay, so I have a question for you. There's a problem with this figure right now. This figure isn't right. Is it possible to both have the life of Christ and to be a sinner at the same time? Isn't that kind of a contradiction of terms? How can we both be righteous and a sinner at the same time? Does that make sense? No. Can someone both be good and bad at the same time? Like, can someone both be convicted and not convicted at the same time? It doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, so this is a problem, and we're going to read one verse in Romans 6 to take care of it, explain it. Because the Lord gives us new life, but he also does something with something called the old man. And I'm not going to get into the details of this, but Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, now, I'm going to try to keep this as simple as I can. What's going to happen is the Lord is going to deal with this life. He does it by death, by his death. I'm going to leave that to others to really explain. It's not my purpose to explain it. But what he does is he takes this life and he puts it in the place of death. It's crucified. Remember Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's done away with. Okay? This life is no longer part of you. You're no longer a guilty person. You are now a righteous person. Okay? This is the first point. So there's two points I want to make. This is the first point. You, if you are a believer, are righteous. Okay? And there's nothing that you can do to change that. So I know that I struggled when I was young about my salvation. And I'm going to guess that if you are saved, there's going to come a point, if it hasn't come already, that you're going to struggle with, am I saved? That question is going to come up in the mind. It's a very popular question that the devil likes to throw at us because it's a hard one to answer sometimes, especially when we're young and we don't know all of the Bible. So the first thing that you need to know is that you are righteous. By the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Now, if somebody is righteous and they have the life of Christ within them, I could read a verse in 1 John. I think it's chapter 4. I didn't look it up. I think it's maybe verse 10 or something. I won't read it. But it says, maybe I'd better. All right, I better look it up. His seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. Can anyone help me find that? I think it's chapter 4. No. Well, I'll let somebody find that for a minute. There we go. Chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, that means that they have new life, Christ's life, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Okay, so Clayton here, it is impossible for Clayton to sin in this new life, okay? It is impossible, if you are a Christian, for you to sin in your new life. I'm going to explain it in a minute, because that could be confusing. But it is impossible for you to become unrighteous after you are righteous. Remember in John 10, the verse that we read, it says, none shall pluck them out of my hand. You cannot become unrighteous if you are righteous. Okay? So if you have Christ's life in you, this is what you look like to the Lord, to God. You look like a beautiful little lamb. You look like the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing you can do to change that. So no matter what you do, even if you do sin, you do lie or disobey your parents or something, you cannot change the fact that you are righteous. Okay? Nothing can change that fact. You're saved. The Lord is not a partial Savior. So you are righteous. Nothing can change that fact. Okay, now I'm going to deal with the other side. What about the fact that I still sin? I do. I'm sure you do as well. How can I be righteous and yet sin? That doesn't make sense. And that was kind of the whole point of the clay. Look at the back of this clay. What do you see? Do you see what's here? Ah, we have an imprint of a snake in the back of this clay still, even though the snake is gone. Do you see that? See how that's still there? Okay, I'll try to explain. The imprint of the snake is something that we often call the old nature. Okay, the old nature is still there. It's not us. The old nature is something that's called, it's still called sin, and it's within us. So it tells us to do things, and the devil tempts us. It says every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I misquoted that. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you have something inside of you still that wants to make you sin. But that's no longer you. You are no longer characterized as a sinner. You are characterized as righteous. So the first thing to understand is that you're righteous. That nothing can affect that righteousness. You are righteous. You cannot lose your salvation because you sin. The second thing to understand is that you will still sin because you still have the old nature. So the devil will come at you, at least in my experience, in one of two ways. One, he will say, you did that, you must have lost your salvation. That's impossible because we're righteous. And nothing can change that righteousness. The second thing the devil might say to you is, you did that, you must not be saved. It's impossible for you to be saved because you did that sin, right? So I'm going to read one verse in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1, to show you that it is absolutely possible for a Christian to sin. 1 John chapter 2, this is spoken directly to Christians. Verse 1, "My children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not." So the desire is that we wouldn't sin. "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So, the point of this is that you as a believer, even though God sees you as righteous and nothing can change that, you will still sin. You will still do bad things. And that's not okay, but the Lord has dealt with those sins. He goes before God the Father as our advocate. And so, don't let the devil convince you, number one, that you're not righteous because you sin. You are. If you're a Christian, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are righteous, and nothing can change that. Number two, don't let him convince you that because you sinned, you're not a Christian. You still have the old nature in you, and you still have the capacity to sin. Okay? Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you guys? Do I need to explain that some more? No? Okay. Well, if you have any more questions, I know this is kind of a little bit confusing, but I think it's really important for children to get a hold of, because this is about the age, at least when I was attacked. I remember laying up in bed at night and calling for my mother. My mom would come groggily into the room, and I'd say, "Mom, I don't think I'm saved. I'm not sure." And she'd say, "Well, don't you believe?" I say, "Well, I think I believe. I'm not really sure, though. I did this bad thing, and I don't know." Rest on the Word of God. It says, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are righteous. And the fact that you still sin does not affect that righteousness. Okay? And the fact that you still sin does not mean that you are not saved, because Christians do still sin. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay. Well, let's see. I think we have time to sing "Jesus Loves Me," and then we'll close, okay? What number is "Jesus Loves Me"? Number 40. Okay, so let's sing "Jesus Loves Me," and then we'll close. Jesus loves me, this I know. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we just look to Thee. Thank Thee for this time. Pray that Thou wouldst bless the word that was given and correct anything that was said that might be wrong. And we just look to Thee that each one here, if they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior today, and that they might have peace in their souls regarding their salvation. Look to Thee for this. Commit the rest of the day to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.